Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host today, Jim Werbel, on this bright, crisp day some people would call a fall day. Today, we'll be talking about the Ames Airport Modernization Project. Cost overruns for the new terminal were shared between Ames City Council, Ames Economic Development Council, and ISU. This was recently reported in the newspaper. So we'll talk to each of these respective units about their interests in the Ames Airport Modernization Project. We talked to Damian Pretziger, a traffic engineer for the City of Ames, Daniel Culhane, chair of the AEDC, and Miles Lackey, chief of staff at ISU. I'm also beginning a new project where I'll be talking to different Ames businesses about their business and the business culture in Ames. Along that line, I'll be talking today with Stacy Brothers, a manager at Jack's, about the history of Jack's in Ames and its 60th birthday party event that'll be happening next weekend, September the 19th. So let's begin the show. To get a feel of the Ames Modernization Project and all the parameters of it, I am talking to Damian Pretziger from the City of Ames, who talks about the physical needs of the airport.
I'd like to welcome back to the show, because you were here just recently talking about the Ames Bike Pass, Damian Pretziger, who will be talking to us about the Airport Modernization Project. What exactly do you do for the City of Ames, Damian?
Well, my title is a traffic engineer, and traffic engineer is in public works. And there's three kind of areas that the traffic engineer oversees, which is all the traffic engineering responsibilities, which are both design and operations. And so that what that means is I oversee traffic signals, traffic signs, and pavement markings. And we also oversee the parking meter system, so the downtown campus town.
So it's all your fault that I get traffic tickets.
That probably would be enforcement. I'm the guy, if your meter isn't working or you're wondering why you put a coin in and nothing happened, that would come to public works.
Okay, I won't blame you for my traffic ticket.
No, exactly. And then another responsibility is, since we're a metropolitan area, the public works staffs the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is a transportation planning effort. And then finally, through some retirements as traffic engineer, I also serve as the airport manager for the City of Ames.
So there's, I heard reading in the newspaper, there's an airport modernization program going on. Explain what that is exactly.
Well, so what we are doing currently at the airport is we are building a new terminal building. And it's a terminal building and a hangar, and they're right next to each other. The current size of the building is around 4,600 square feet, which in the 70s was a very good-sized building, served a lot of the needs. But what we've known is as the community has grown and we've had significant changes to some of the economic growth around Ames, probably most notably the ISU Research Park expansion. It's a major expansion. More than double the size of the Research Park. And so what we saw is that through the growth of the town, that we need an airport that can serve the businesses that are coming here. And we have a very, very active student population, surprisingly so, who are looking to get their pilot's license. So we have a growing need for instruction and recreational flying.
What exactly happens in the terminal? I mean, for me, a terminal is a place where I jump on and off an airplane. We don't have that in Ames.
Right. Good point to bring up. The general aviation terminal is not like a commercial service terminal, where a lot of the function of a commercial service terminal is to get passengers to their planes and from their planes. General aviation, the terminal, is really a training area. There's a lot of more face-to-face customer service. So the activities that happen at a general aviation airport are really kind of your front door to people who fly into Ames. This is kind of one of their first chances to meet people of Ames, to understand what Ames is about. So you see a lot of economic development happen on the general general aviation airports, and the terminal building is the place where a lot of that needs to happen. So there's
a lot of meeting spaces going on there. You need some meeting spaces. You need study spaces for people learning to be pilots.
Part of one of the reasons why we're doing the project is that we have the training space, which needs to be expanded. But we're heavily lacking in meeting spaces where people, because a lot of times, I'll give an example, people like to fly into Ames, meet with either local development or local businesses and manage their own businesses. And a lot of times they like to have those meetings either with designers or architects out at the airport. And there really isn't a good space now, conference space, to do that. And then also just the, again, going back to the general growth of the community, we're very much outgrown the size of the terminal we have now. And a good example is when you see, like, athletic teams go out there. They'll, with all the students and their trainers and the coaches, when they're out there waiting to get their charter to fly to whatever, volleyball match or basketball match or something like that, they'll pretty much fill the space in the terminal.
Did you have to upgrade communication technology or any other type of radar technology too as well?
The current building, again, built in the 70s, has been retrofitted to have like pilot flight planning. But there really isn't good data services. There isn't really good meeting rooms that would have your normal audio video things for technologies that you would kind of expect in a modern building, modern facility. So there's a lot of technology upgrades that we're going to get with the new building.
So this is really a modernization in every sense of the word, modern.
Absolutely. The great thing is it's kind of a clean slate approach to what are the needs at the airport and how can we meet them.
What about the hangar? Why do we need a new hangar?
So the hangar, I know that one of the things a lot of people look at, because it's a good question, because people are like, well, there's hangars out there right now.
Yes.
Well, the thing is the hangars that are out there now are rented and leased by people for their own aircraft. So what we don't have is we don't have any covered space for people who – what they call itinerant flights, which people are just coming in for the night or a couple nights and then leaving. So if they come here right now, they have to park the plane on the apron. And the problem being is since we're a snow state, they have no protection. So especially during the winter or especially during summer storms, what we're seeing is people will fly in a charter or whatever a business might come in, drop off their client, and then they'll take the plane and fly it back down to Des Moines so that they can park it inside in a covered area. So the people might ask, well, that's kind of on the it's on the pilots to deal with that. That doesn't seem like it's a big issue. But the thing, what we find is, what we hear from pilots is that if they don't have a protected space, they won't even come to our airport.
Is there a fee for the service if they use the short-term?
A lot of airports do charge an overnight fee for parking in there. We haven't established that yet since the project is still in development. But most likely there usually is, because it's kind of a hot commodity for – there'll be a lot of demand to use that space.
So it'll partially pay for itself.
Over time, absolutely. I mean, the philosophy at a general aviation airport is to run it like a business, that the fees cover the costs.
Is there any chance that we'll be able to get commercial flights because of these upgrades?
I would highly doubt it. We have a long way to go before we can meet some of the minimum requirements for commercial aircraft.
Well, the project has had a long history, I understand this. It's been going on, the whole project and planning process. When did it start?
To our records, the first time we anticipated the need to replace the terminal building was in the 2006 airport master plan. What the master plan does is it looks at what they call the airside needs for the airport, which is all the runway taxiways where the planes operate, and then the land side, which is all the buildings, all the services, things like that. And one of the land side needs was the replacement of the terminal building. But in the master plan in 2006, it was around $1 million to replace it. That was mainly a maintenance replacement of the building. It didn't really anticipate at that time that the research park would be coming, that we would have an industrial growth in the east, or that, frankly, Ames would be the size of population that it is. So it was initially anticipated to be just a replacement of an aging building.
So 9 years in process. Changes have been made, increased demands. The city council's been monitoring. You've been monitoring all these changes, keeping the city council posted of all the changes. So because of changes, I guess there has been some discussion of the cost overruns.
Our current budget that was in the CIP was $2,410,000, and that was for everything. That was for the site work, for the terminal building, and for engineering and architectural design, which initially left us about $1.2 million for the terminal building itself. A couple city councils ago, one of the goals was to focus on gateways to Ames, and one of the gateways was the airport. Our architects, which their name is Alliance, they're out of Minneapolis, they had a third-party cost estimator who gave us a more accurate square-foot cost for a gateway-style building of around $285 a square foot. So with that, to give us around a 7,000-square-foot building, we needed more like around a $2 million building rather than what we had budgeted as $1.2 million.
So where does all this money come from to improve the terminal?
So initially the city council tried to look at, well, who will benefit from it? What sectors of the community are interested in this project? And so a simplified to make, because there's lots of complicated ways to put that together, but the most simple and direct way to do it was to say the city has interest in the airport growing and expanding. ISU University has a similar interest, and so does the private sector, business community. So we tried to break the cost of the terminal down a third, a third, and a third. And what we found was it's a little bit more difficult to get some of the private sector donations raised, the money raising. So what actually happened, we found one private donator who was willing to build the raise money and build the hangar. So what happened is instead of being a straight third cost across the whole project, the private sector is going to be donating the hangar portion of it. And then the City of Ames and Iowa State University will somewhat, quote, split the cost for the terminal.
How did this happen? I mean, who was responsible for bringing these relatively divergent interests and groups together? This is a challenge.
Well, it was the city. A lot of it was myself, some other public works staff members, obviously the city manager's office at the direction of city council. But, well, pretty much the president's office. So the point person that we've dealt with heavily is Miles Lackey, the vice president of the university. Him and the ISU president, as you know, their background comes from the Research Triangle area. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of experience in supporting university research parks, and they saw the need and the benefit of having a good, strong airport. It's my understanding in talking with them that our growth potential in that research industries, whether it be for ag or, frankly, for almost any type of industry who would want to base themselves here in Ames, that could be a huge benefit.
Let me summarize a few things. First of all, this planning process has been going on for almost 9 years. There was a master plan done, and many changes have been made to it as the City of Ames grew and expanded. And what is unique about this seems to be that there's been a lot of input and participation from diverse parties, and those different parties have actually financially contributed to the process rather than just expecting the City of Ames to largely pay for the lion's share of the project.
The goal is that we're trying to, again, support the economic stability of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I think I should mention is that makes Ames a little unique is that we're one of the very few airports, maybe in the nation, that is self-sustaining. So this is a kind of a one-time investment to help the ongoing self-sustaining nature of our airport, which makes us unique. I think it's something we're very proud of. Something that the Iowa DOT Office of Aviation and working also with the FAA, they really look to Ames as a model for how you should run a general aviation airport because of that self-sustaining nature. They would really like every general aviation airport to take that business model approach to keeping the airport up and running.
And again, let me summarize one more thing. It seems like the upgrades have multiple needs, especially the terminal. there's a need for new equipment and technology, and how's being able to house that new equipment and technology for pilot plane safety. There's a need for meeting space for people that are coming in to do business in Ames, and they really just like to meet at an airport and not go to some hotel and have a meeting like that. It's just a lot more convenient for them, so they can fly in and fly out. There's a need for increased use of especially the student group who's learning to become pilots.
Southwest and United, things like that.
Well, I think one of the images that I'd like to share, it's just more than a bunch of corporate jets coming in, and an airport could not survive and be sustainable if it's just a bunch of corporate jets coming in.
No, actually, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't see is that there is a lot of people who are aviation enthusiasts. And what I mean by that is just like people who are automotive enthusiasts, they have old planes that they restore. We have one person at the Ames Airport that does classic aviation shows, and he has like World War II era planes. There's a very good community of the recreational flying and the gliders who meet out at the airport. They have they're like the glider club meets out. There's an Ames glider club. So there's a community social component that's very active at airports.
Parachutists.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty much anything to do with aviation. If you love aviation, general aviation airports is where you're going to do that. Though I think what is important and for the stability of an airport is that you have a strong business corporate services as well. You don't want to discount them, but it is a wide range of users.
Well, thank you very much for coming in, Damian. I appreciate you sharing information about the airport modernization program that's continuing to go on, as I understand.
Absolutely. Every year we look at new needs and make updates to it.
We need to talk to Daniel Culhane next about the airport modernization project. As Damian was suggesting, that they were involved in building the hangar for the project. So he's a member of the Ames Chamber and Economic Development Council. Let's hear from Daniel. I'd like to welcome Dan Culhane to the show, who is the president and CEO of the Ames Chamber of Commerce and the Ames Economic Development Commission. Welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be here.
Well, we're talking about the Ames Airport, as you know. I hear that the Ames Economic Development Commission has been actively engaged in the funding of that.
We have. What started out as a partnership between the City of Ames, Iowa State University, and the Ames Economic Development Commission. You may recall the city essentially promised to build a new terminal for the airport, and in turn, the Ames Economic Development Commission, or the AEDC, promised to raise sufficient funds to build a short-term storage facility or a hangar for visiting aircraft.
Why would the Ames Economic Development Commission be at all interested in a hangar?
We're interested in the hangar and the terminal and the overall improvements to the airport. We think it's important because of the economic development and economic vitality here in Ames and Story County. We see more and more companies locating operations in places like university towns like Ames, but their decisions are made elsewhere. And sometimes those decisions are made in Chicago or New York or Ingelheim, Germany. And these companies have corporate aircraft, and it's easier for them to drop into Ames versus flying into Minneapolis, renting a car and driving 3 hours, or sometimes flying into Des Moines and driving up from the Des Moines airport. And so it's convenience. It's the speed of business in many, many ways. There's a company in Story City called American Packaging. They're headquartered in, I believe, New York, if not New York, Connecticut. They have a corporate aircraft. They fly into Ames on a fairly routine basis, and they drive up to Story City to visit what is a very large production facility for them. In fact, they just announced a very large expansion here in the last 45 days.
What is the purpose of the hangar then?
The purpose of the hangar is that, you know, if you think about when you fly to Minneapolis or Des Moines in the middle of the winter, they'll spray the airplane down with de-icing fluid. The Ames Airport will never be a commercial service airport. It'll never have de-icing equipment. And so as a result of that, as aircraft come in, particularly during inclement weather, they need to be pulled inside so the wings don't accumulate ice and things like that. And so we call it a short-term storage facility because that's what it's intended to do. An airplane comes in on a Tuesday afternoon in the middle of January, and it's supposed to sleet that night. They pull it indoors. That way it's out of the harm of weather. And when they leave the next morning, the plane is dry.
So how many firms in Story County actually need this type of facility?
It really varies. BASF, Beringer Ingelheim, which is building a very large new facility in the research park right now, the Renewable Energy Group, or REG, Todd and Sargent, Danfoss, 3M, the list goes on, American Packaging and Story City, the list goes on of companies that regularly use the airport, and then there are other companies who occasionally use the airport, and so it's a real mix. But we also see that as these modernization improvements are made, that we will likely see a fixed base operator that'll provide charter service. That's a convenience that would be very, very user friendly for any kind of business here in town or the university. The real funders of this project are the City of Ames, obviously, Iowa State University, and the Ames Economic Development Commission. And then if you want to go to the state government and federal government, you've got the Iowa Department of Transportation putting some resources into it, as well as the Federal Aviation Administration.
So the expansion's about $4 million. About what percentage is the Ames Economic Development Council contributing to that?
Yeah, it's going to be roughly $4 million between the terminal and the hangar and, all the site work that's required to build these buildings. Currently, what started out was the development of the hangar. And we're figuring that's roughly a $1 million to $1.2 million project. We've led the fundraising for that, and we've got $100,000 of our money in that project. More recently as 2 weeks ago, the City of Ames and Iowa State University each put an additional $250,000 into the terminal, different from the hangar, for the terminal project because there was a $750,000 shortfall. They felt they could probably remove that last $250,000 by cutting some things out of the project. When we saw the revised plan, it looked like they'd cut out about a quarter of the square footage, about 1,600 square feet. Because of that last $250,000 they didn't have, and that's where the Ames Economic Development Commission Board of Directors voted to put the last $250,000 into that project. So between the hangar, or the short-term storage facility, and the terminal, the AEDC will have $350,000 in the project.
So who is contributing to this project?
Good question. The hangar itself, we've got, I believe 13 companies right now, along with AEDC. And, of course, it's public record. The Story County Board of Supervisors has contributed $100,000 to the project as well. That's where we stand right now with the airport hangar. And we've got some ways to go. So if anybody's listening who wants to contribute to the hangar, we'd gladly take that. And then the other project is the terminal. And, again, that project is funded by the predominantly Iowa State, the City of Ames, the FAA, the Iowa Department of Transportation, and now the AEDC with its $250,000 investment. And, you know, people might ask, you know, well, where does the AEDC get their money? Our money comes predominantly from the private sector, the business community. And so we've got, give or take, about $1 million budget every year. And of that, about 65% of that funding comes from a lot of the companies I just mentioned, the banks and the manufacturers and the research companies and people like that. They're the folks that underwrite the economic development effort here in Ames and Story County. Of course, Story County is a contributor, as well as the City of Ames and Iowa State. Lots of folks. Everybody.
This is a pretty unusual partnership. Who are the people primarily responsible for bringing this group of people together?
Well, I think it really starts with Dr. Stephen Leith, the president of Iowa State. He has really been a driver of airport improvements because he sees the connection between the airport and the research park. Of course, Warren Madden from Iowa State University and the City of Ames, Steve Shanker has been helpful to the process. And so that's really been – and then the Ames Economic Development Commission. That's really been the the core group that has really driven this. And, you know, I credit the Ames City Council for supporting moving forward with this process. You know, this is a unique partnership in that a nonprofit like the Ames Economic Development Commission is funding technically public infrastructure. Yet, while it's unusual, we also feel like it's important enough that we're going to put our money into this process, too, because we're asking for it, so we should help fund it.
This is your host of Local Talk, Jim Werbel. Today, we are visiting with critical participants in the airport modernization project. So far, we've heard from representatives from the City of Ames and the Chamber of Commerce. If you missed the interview with Damien and the City of Ames, you can listen to the full podcast by going to our website, khoifm.org. Again, just the letter, the station, khoifm.org. Finally, I visited with Miles Lackey in his office at ISU yesterday to hear about ISU's interest in this project. As Daniel mentioned, President Leith was a critical driver in this project. Miles worked with him closely on this project. Let's hear from Miles Lackey. I'd like to welcome Miles Lackey to the show, who's the chief of staff for the President Leith of Iowa State University. So far, we've talked to Damien about the terminal and the hangar, and he's explained a lot of the details for us. We've heard from Dan Culhane saying that Iowa State University was heavily involved with the airport modernization project. Can you tell me why Iowa State is concerned about having a larger footprint for the airport?
The university's interest in the airport project is directly tied to our efforts out at the research park. As you're aware, the research park is really the place where new technologies and innovations are developed, many of which are grounded in research initially conducted at ISU or are grounded in collaborations with ISU faculty and staff. And oftentimes, scaling up or developing new innovative technologies, it takes capital and subsequently requires outside support from investors and even outside companies, or many of who take advantage of the conveniences that general aviation has to offer. And so the co-location or the location of the airport being adjacent to the research park really does provide a competitive advantage if you're looking at our research park and comparing it to other research parks that you see across the country. We're really in a unique position.
So there's a lot of businesses going in there. What's the importance of the airport in terms of those businesses?
You know, we really want to make sure that the front doorstep to the City of Ames and Iowa State reflects the innovative and progressive community that we live in. Clearly, that's not the case with the existing facility, which has, you know, a tremendous amount of deferred maintenance. Yes, there are space considerations. Right now, the existing facility is really not conducive to being able to accommodating, be it large business delegations. Also, from an athletic standpoint, it does present some challenges if you have an athletics team that is going to be flying into the Ames Airport. Some of the teams can be quite large. Football program brings 60-plus people, right, when they arrive in town. And right now, the existing terminal can just not accommodate some of these larger, be it teams or delegations.
Clearly, athletics is one. The ISU Research Park, there's people coming in that want to do business and help out the people in the research park. And they need some pleasant meeting space that's conducive for conducting business.
Really having access, it's just something we do not have right now. We do not have access to nice meeting space out at the airport terminal. And even if you look out at the existing footprint for the research park, you know, access to meeting space is just not, there's not a lot of space available out there, period. We're seeing all the space that is out there currently is being heavily utilized. And even though we're expanding capacity out at the research park, we just know that the demand for meeting space is going to be very high.
It's called the ISU Research Park, I believe. What the heck does Iowa State have to do with the research park?
That really goes back to the first comment I made, where a lot of the innovations, a lot of the new products that we're seeing, new companies that are being started up based upon university intellectual property are actually developed out at the research park.
Can you give me some examples of firms that have used ISU technology that are being successful at the ISU Research Park?
Absolutely. So if you look at Harris Vaccines, we've been heavily involved there in working with Hank Harris in developing vaccines that are applicable to swine and hog production. You know, the work that he is doing has the potential to save, to really benefit the swine industry, benefit livestock. Another good example is it's not even just only intellectual property, but it's also the workforce that we're actually providing here and graduating at Iowa State. If you look at, be it NewLink Genetics or Workiva, a large percentage of their workforce are actually ISU grads. So it's also providing those innovative job opportunities to our graduates. So it's kind of a full, you know, we're talking about not just the innovations, not just intellectual property, but also the critical workforce which we can provide here at Iowa State in the city of Ames.
You see business economic development as one of the strategic goals of Iowa State University.
Absolutely. Economic development is very important to Iowa State University as a land-grant institution. We're all about really translating that research into something that can be an application which can not only generate economic growth but also can yield benefits to society.
All right. So let me kind of summarize things. At this time, the ISU Research Park, which is a part of ISU and definitely part of its strategic mission, needs facilities for these businesses to succeed and thrive. And having an airport with modern facilities is definitely one part of the ability for these firms to be successful in terms of attracting people to come to Ames and conduct business in Ames.
Absolutely right. Couldn't agree more with the way that you framed that. That's absolutely right. It's important as we think about recruiting firms to the area, recruiting firms out to the research park, and also just making the community more accessible to investors throughout the country.
Okay. Well, Iowa State's a public institution. Where's this money coming from to support the expansion of the terminal?
The money that ISU is providing in support of the terminal is coming from private sources. It is not coming out of the general fund, which is where tuition and the state appropriation go into. So no, this will be private resources.
Well, thank you. Do you have anything else you'd like to add that would clarify in the listener's head what the airport expansion was all about?
No, I think we covered most of it. We just really look forward to seeing the work get underway, and we think it's something that the community is really going to be pleased with once it all gets finished up.
I'm flying.
Flying.
Look at me way up high. Suddenly, here am I. I'm flying. I'm flying.
First, I must throw the fairy dust on you. Now, think lovely thoughts.
Think lovely thoughts.
Fishing, dancing, candy.
Picnic, summer,
candy.
Sailing,
flowers.
Michael.
Christmas!
I watched that video live, the music to that video live, and it was just amazing watching the props with the people flying around and Peter Pan. I love the music. This is Local Talk 89.1 FM, serving Ames and Story County. Your host today, Jim Werbel. Hopefully those interviews about the airport modernization project informed you sufficiently about it. There are always unanswered questions, and the project is far from complete. You can listen to the full podcast at khoifm.org if you want more information about it and you missed some of the interviews. It's a bit complex with the hangar and the terminal and who is paying for what. Next up, we have Stacy Brothers and Jordan McCrae from Jack's Outdoors, who will talk to us about the history of Jack's and Ames, what they see as their future names. Finally, we'll talk a little bit about their 60th birthday party. Stacy, could you tell us a little bit about the 60th birthday party? Where and when and what's going on?
Well, our 60th anniversary celebration is happening on Saturday, September 19th, in the parking lot outside of our store for the most part. We have events from 12 to 4. We're closing off the frontage road in front of the store there, and we're installing an 80-foot inflatable zip line that is suitable for all ages.
Where will people be parking?
We're closing off the road there just by our West store. So the parking lot, as you know, it will still be available. And also KD Amusements and Games, that is right near our store, there will be having games outside for people to play with, too, near the zip line. In the back of our parking lot area that's normally our warehouse area, we will be having a stage with the Burning Sensations playing from 12 to 4, and we'll also be serving food there. We'll have Cub Scouts there with popcorn and several other events that we still haven't finalized.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll talk a little bit more about it at the end. That's again on the 19th from 12 to 4. Let's see. You opened up in 1955.
1955, September of 1955, yes.
And who opened the store? And tell us a little bit about that.
The store was opened by the Quinlan family, who still own Jack's, the Jack's company, which is now Jack's Mercantile.
It's a family-owned business.
It's a family-owned business, yes. The current owner of the company is Jim Quinlan, and his parents, Marvin and Lola, opened the store in 1955. As a strictly military surplus store, Mr. Quinlan had served in World War II and developed an interest in surplus. He wanted to start a business of his own, and he knew that military surplus would allow him to do that without a huge initial output of cash. So, and he and his wife had made a habit of traveling the country and collecting military surplus. They were simply very interested in it, and so they made it their business.
Interesting. So that was the original. So really wasn't much outdoors. It was I've seen those old military tents, not very high tech at all.
Right, exactly. But if you think about it, it is outdoors, tents, sleeping bags, a lot of the things that we still carry today.
So that's how it started. Clearly, it's moved from across generations, from the parents to the current Jim Quinlan.
Right.
And so we could talk about succession issues, but they seem to have been managed well. He seems to be doing quite well in terms of controlling the business.
That's right. In addition to the store in Ames, there are stores in Loveland, Lafayette, and Fort Collins, Colorado, which is where the family settled after they're originally from Iowa, but they moved to Colorado.
So why did they keep the store in Ames if they moved to Colorado?
Right. Well, I think it's just a genuine love for the shop and for Iowa and for the community of Ames.
When was your first expansion? There's a picture of, you know, we can't show it on the radio, but there's
right.
a picture of a rather small store with a very small footprint.
720 square feet. And, of course, that part of the store still exists. The first expansion actually happened in 1965 when they doubled the area of the store. Successions, 85, 2000, and 2004, and another expansion in 2005. We now have 21,000 square feet of store space.
From how much?
From 720.
That's a big expansion. That's a lot of changes, especially in the past 15 years. A lot of expansion has been going on. What changes have happened at Jack's with all this rapid growth in sales space?
I would say it would give us the opportunity to expand into more categories maybe we haven't before. We've had great luck in the with adding for our customers lots of clothing and footwear options, addition of athletics is kind of a new category for us, as well as expanding on the categories that we have. We were able to, you know, increase our sales floor as far as opportunities in fishing and hunting, camping, just to offer our customers a little better product selection. With that, our staff has obviously grown, and it's given us the opportunity to, you know, branch into more areas, but still at the heart of the business is a lot of the same core product and things we had at the beginning.
Challenges with staff growth, it sounds like. Yeah, you've managed those relatively well. More managers.
More managers, right, and more staff. And fortunately, in a college town, it's not too difficult to find people that are looking for employment, and there's a lot of people that are interested in the outdoor recreation business these days.
So who are your competitors, and how do you differ from those competitors?
I would say as Ames has grown, there's been a lot more business moving in. We have, you know, lots of other people in the outdoor industry, both brick and mortar and online. We have quite a few options here in Ames, from you know, Sports Authority to other retailers that offer clothing and things like that, as well as Des Moines, people driving down there. As far as how we differ, we always try to have a different product base, something new and original and exciting, focusing on the outdoors. And then we always try to make sure our staff is absolutely up to speed and ready to go to share their expertise in the field with the customers that come through our door.
So you provide upscale customer service. You like to pride yourself in that, as well as you said, state-of-the-art technology for different activities that maybe not everybody carries.
Right. That's how we feel like we can set ourselves apart. We are a smaller store than a lot of these large stores that people can go to buy outdoor gear. What makes us different is the customer service, which is a part of our mission.
What exactly is your mission?
Our mission is to provide the best product, the best customer service possible, quality products that, you know, stand the test of time and last, but also to introduce maybe people for the first time to the outdoors, but just through our opportunity, through our stores, to educate others as well.
So you have educational activities? What kind of educational activities do you have?
Absolutely. I mean, inside the store is pretty obvious. You come in and we help you. But we love to plant seeds in the community. A big part of Ames is the fact that we are able to share the knowledge we have with various different organizations and you know, activities. But educating different, you know, a couple of our employees have gone out and educated different groups and members on different things they can get involved with.
Yeah, everything from kayaking to outdoor cooking.
Mm-hmm. Outdoor cooking is important if you're going to spend time outdoors.
And right.
there is an art to campfire right. cooking. Approximately, what are your total sales? How much have your sales grown over the past 10, 15 years?
average, well, I would say sales for Jack's would be right around $4 million at our Ames, Iowa location. Smaller percentage of our total as a company. About we usually make about 7% of our total sales for Jack's Mercantile. But as that's changed, you know, sales have grown and we've seen Ames grow as well. So,
how do you mention internet competition? That's every retailer is experiencing right. problems and issues. Don't you have some people that just come into your store, look at a product, and then buy it online?
Right. I would say that we're very fortunate in the community of Ames. You know, the internet is out there and it is a big monster, and I think every brick and mortar is trying to tackle that. But people of Ames do a really nice job in that they vote with their dollars. In supporting any business in Ames, you're supporting brick and mortar and employment of Ames residents and staff and students. So I think that's a big portion of it. But I feel like it's great that the Ames not only supports local business and keeps them surviving, but also keeps them thriving here in Ames. So.
I know that you do things to give back to the community of Ames. I know that you're one of the supporters of KHOI Radio. We do appreciate that. What else do you do for the people in Ames and Story County, different groups?
That's also a part of our mission, to give back to the communities that our stores are located in.
So this is Jim Quinlan decides this, that's your policy?
Well, I guess you'd say so in the fact that it is part of our mission, and okay. This is what we do, and we have allocations in our budget to make sure that we're able to do that.
Good. Okay. Tell us a little bit about who you support.
Every year we try to support the Ames JCs, and in addition to KHOI, we support KURI. We work with a lot of the softball and baseball teams in the area, the Ames High Boosters. The Run for the Roses event is one of our larger sponsorships that we do every year. The Great Ames Adventure Race, which is happening, I believe, Sunday.
Explain the Great Ames Adventure Race. I didn't know about that one.
It's an event they have out at Ada Hayden every year. It's just kind of a triathlon of sorts with some obviously kayaking or canoeing involved. But it's really taken off in Ames, and we're happy to support it just because, you know, the city of Ames, it's something different that not everybody offers, but they do a fantastic job organizing the event every year.
So that's going to be – when's that going to be? Next?
This weekend. Oh, yes.
That's this weekend.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
This Sunday. Are you going to be in it, Jordan?
Myself, I'm not participating. We do have quite a few different people, customers that come in that are prepping and ready to go for it, but I myself will not be participating in it this year.
Okay. Other groups you contribute
well,
to?
Well, different fundraisers. We definitely contribute to the schools and – almost any group, if you come to us, we're interested in outdoor awareness. We're interested in the environment. We're interested in organizations that are just there to encourage people's health and to get outside and have some fun and be healthy.
Okay. So you do a lot of groups that support things that are compatible with your business.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The rock climbing champion or contest that they do at ISU. Definitely several ISU clubs.
All right. Well, everybody appreciates a business that sees itself as a part of a larger community. So tell us a little bit more about the birthday party. Whose idea was it to launch this? And how does give me a little bit about some of the details of the history that you'll be posting and people coming to it.
Oh, well, we're going to do a little bit of a tribute to our roots. Being the military surplus is how we started out. Actors, the Ames Community Theater, is also celebrating their 60th anniversary this year. And they're also on the west side of town. And you mentioned the competition with the internet and other stores. One of the things that I feel like we're competing with a lot is our location. And so I'm excited to encourage people to come to the west side of town and support the businesses out there. So we've asked actors to join us, and they're going to be having a photo booth where people can dress up in different sorts of military outfits and different crazy ensembles, and then we'll have pictures that are keepsakes from the event.
That'll be fun.
Right. And every year at our anniversary, we have we give out hot dogs to people, and this year we've upped the ante a little bit from hot dogs. have a little bit more food there for folks to enjoy.
Food always gets people to come.
Right. And we have some wonderful prizes that we will have drawings for at the – probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon we'll mm-hmm. be giving out our prizes.
And you're going to have live music as well?
Live music from the Burnin' Sensations, a great local band, yes.
So it's really going to be pretty much a party.
A party.
People can have a good time and not even go into the store almost.
Right.
You bet. Lots going on that day.
That sounds like lots of fun. And when is that going to be again? Tell us a little bit about the dates and the time.
Saturday, September 19th, mm-hmm. from 12 o'clock noon to 4 in the afternoon.
What about the employees? I hear the story that you're having a birthday party for past employees as well.
That's right. We're having an employee reunion, a Jack's employee reunion. We've invited, I believe it's 265 people that have worked at Jack's Outdoor Gear. And I'm not sure how many are going to show up, but we're looking forward to having a party later in the night just for ourselves.
Yes, you bet. It should be a great time to get all of our past employees together to kind of gather around, celebrate 60 great years of Ames. And we have a lot of employees with a million different stories, have gone a million different directions. So it's always a nice opportunity to touch base.
And I've heard that you've had some interesting stories, like the original managers after the Quinlans left sent you some information. Why don't you tell us about that?
The Quinlans had to move back to Colorado, and so they decided that they would like to have a couple run the store. So they advertised for a student couple to manage the store. There was a small house that was located behind the original building, and what they received was a small salary, which maybe wasn't small back then. I'm not really sure. I think it was about $75 a month. And they had housing. They lived in this little house. And there was a buzzer that was strung between the store and the house. So they didn't actually have to be in the store all of the time that it was open, because when someone entered the store, a buzzer would go off in their home and they could come in and help them. And this went on with students living in this little house for about, I think, 15 years. They managed the store that way.
Interesting. So the original ones sent you something. What did they send to you?
They sent wonderful photographs of themselves and the original building, the little house behind it, which I had never seen before. And then they sent some pictures from the 80s, so we got to see the progression of the store as it grew.
So will the pictures be on display as well?
Yes, the pictures will be on display. And we've developed a timeline from 1955 to 2015 with expansions and pictures and different things that will be available for people to see.
I've also heard that some of your past employees have done interesting things, like climbing Mount Everest. Is that true?
You bet. One of our former employees was actually the first Iowan to summit Everest. It's a great accomplishment there. We have various employees. I mean, lots of people that have gone on to do great things, taking great trips and, taking their expertise from Jack's and definitely going out into the world and putting it into the works.
Sounds like fun. Well, thank you very much, and I look forward to seeing you for your birthday party.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
This is Jim Werbel, your host of Local Talk. The songs we heard on today's show were music from the Air Force song and I'm Flying from the musical Peter Pan. Our theme song is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk was engineered by Jonah DeGeest. Today we focused on the airport modernization project. I spoke with Damian Pretziger, a traffic engineer for the City of Ames, Daniel Culhane, the chair of the Ames Economic Development Commission, and Miles Lackey, chief of staff at ISU, about everybody's respective engagements in the Ames Modernization Project. I also spoke with Stacy Brothers and Jordan McCrae about Jack's Mercantile, the history of Jack's and their 60th birthday party event next weekend. In case you missed some of the interviews today, you can listen to the entire show, as well as all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Again, that's khoifm.org. Boca Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. If you're interested in joining the reporting team, as I did, I got trained. I'm still learning. We're all learning here at the studio. Please call 292-2878. That's 292-2878. And check us out on Facebook. Your participation as an audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.